Sermon text this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 23. Matthew 2, 1 to 23. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you are our refuge and strength. You are in the midst of us. As the nations rage and the kingdoms are moved, we pray, utter your voice. Melt the earth by your spirit. Make the wars cease. Break the bow and cut the spear. Burn the chariot in fire, and exalt yourself among the nations throughout the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words for today are nation, nation and bless. Nation and bless, or some variation, blessing, blessed, nation and bless. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, today we transition from the Christmas season to the Epiphany season. Now, while the decorations in your homes may need to come down, and the music on the player may need to change, there is still reason to celebrate. Epiphany is also a joyous occasion in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. For at Epiphany, we celebrate the Christ child appearing to the Gentiles. Now, going from Christmas to Epiphany helps us follow the rhythm of the life of Jesus. There is a temptation to conflate the life of Jesus or to miss the order, to miss the context of his actions. Why did he do what he did when he did it? Why that order? This is important, as we will see. The Son walked the path he did for a reason. Now, boys and girls, think to yourself, what does the word epiphany mean? Epiphany means, yes, reveal. Very good. Reveal, appearing, manifestation. Jesus revealing himself to the Gentiles. Now, the Christmas nativity was a different event than his revealing. For in his birth, Jesus appeared to the shepherds. He revealed himself to shepherds in Bethlehem. Jesus came first to his own, first to Israel. For salvation is of the Jews. In the Old Covenant, the sons of Israel were identified as shepherds. And the angels, the messengers of God, called shepherds first to see Jesus. And from his birth, the shepherds departed to tell others. So first he appeared to shepherds. After that appearing, the Christ child appeared to Gentiles. Magi, wise men, magicians from Gentile nations, perhaps even sorcerers from Gentile countries in the east. They followed a star to find Jesus. These were religious leaders. They had some knowledge of astronomy, but they were Gentiles. They were not loathsome shepherds, as Israel was known. And they came to the Christ child bearing gifts to worship. Where can we find this child so that we may worship him? Now, this event, Epiphany, is significant for multiple reasons. You have grown men, leaders from a nation, not Israel, bowing before a Jewish child. Born in Bethlehem, not only was Bethlehem small among Judah, Israel was not a mighty nation. Yahweh did not set Israel apart because they were strong. No, it was according to his covenant promises that he chose Israel. And these promises go all the way back to Genesis 12 in the call to Abraham. At that time, Abram. Now, in Genesis 12, which comes, boys and girls, what's the chapter before Genesis 12? Genesis 11, that's right. In Genesis 12, it comes after the fall at Babel, when all the nations are spread out throughout the earth. And Yahweh called Abram to start a new nation. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, we read, "Now Yahweh had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So this is to be, from Abram, a distinct, set-apart nation. One nation would be a blessing to all the other nations, Abram's seed would be the nation Israel. And all the other nations surrounding Israel would either be a blessing or a curse for Israel. Throughout the history of redemption, Gentiles have both blessed Israel and cursed Israel. Melchizedek blessed Abram, giving him bread and wine. Pharaoh blessed Joseph, exalting him to his right hand. And from that, Yahweh blessed Pharaoh and Egypt. Jacob came later, and he blessed Pharaoh when he met him. But the later Pharaoh did not know Joseph, and he cursed Israel. So, Yahweh cursed Egypt. Boys and girls, how did Yahweh curse Egypt? With plagues. You curse my people, I will curse you. But in the set-apart status of Israel, Israel was to serve the other nations as a priestly nation, bringing grace. And in response, the Gentiles were to bless. Bless Israel. In the fullness of time, when the Son of God came, he came first to Israel. He first appeared to the shepherds. All are to bow the knee to Jesus. And what did the shepherds do? They responded by faith. Herod, ruler over Israel, a descendant of Esau, he did not want to worship Jesus. So he lied, and he strove to murder Jesus. He was a liar and a murderer. He did not want to kiss the Son. And King Herod, the ruler of Israel, rejected the Son. Jesus, the true seed of Abraham, came to Israel first. But at Epiphany, he revealed that he would bless the nations too. Those who bless the seed of Abraham, fulfilling that promise, Yahweh will bless. Those who curse the true seed of Abraham, Yahweh will curse. Historically, when Israel was unfaithful, the Lord went to the Gentiles. How would they respond to his grace? Ruth, would she come back to Israel with Naomi? Would she come back to serve Naomi's God? Yes. How about Naaman after his cleansing in the Jordan? How would he respond to God's grace? Just like the call of Abram, God's grace to the Gentile Magi in Christ appearing was part of the movement of this effect to the Gentile nations. It started with Magi worshiping Christ. This is the first wave of the Gentiles to the Son. Because the incarnation had implications for the world and for history. How does Matthew start his gospel account? With a genealogy, all the way back to Abraham. Luke starts his gospel account with Caesar Augustus holding a census. Quirinius was governing Syria. These are historical events. They are historical markers. Epiphany was not a timeless event. It happened in history. Because the world was changing. The Son of God was changing the world. And this is what the prophets promised. All the time of Advent, why do we celebrate Advent? It's focusing on the promises. Promises and waiting, patience and fulfillment. The King is coming, get yourselves ready. So in those promises, when we hear from Isaiah 7, the virgin mother will be with child. Or Isaiah 9, the government will be on his shoulders. Or from Micah 5, the ruler will come from Bethlehem. What are those promises about? Or who are they about? They're about Jesus. Jesus is coming. The people were in darkness, but now they've seen a great light. Jesus appeared. Jesus revealed himself. He manifested himself to the Gentiles. But there were other promises. Other promises that were coming to fulfillment. As you read the prophets, all those Gentile promises, all that Gentile activity would start to happen with the coming of the Son of God. The incarnation is not limited to Christmas. Jesus changed history. He changed the world. Haggai prophesied, Yahweh will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. The Lord will shake the nations, and they'll come to Jesus. In their call to worship, we have Isaiah 60. I'm going to read a little bit more from Isaiah 60 than is in your liturgy. Yahweh will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Then you shall see and become radiant. Your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. The Son will change the world, and he will shake up the nations. Gentiles would come to Jesus. They would come to God in his grace. This is the Abrahamic promise. Your seed, Abraham. Your seed will bless the nations. Now, in the Old Covenant, the seed of Abraham, the nation of Israel, was faithless. They broke covenant. Faithlessness and covenant breaking are bad witnesses. Faithlessness, covenant breaking are bad witnesses. Unbelievers will not convert to Jesus when God's people don't love Jesus either. Unbelievers are not going to come to the Christian faith if we don't love Jesus. The world will not forsake worldliness for the Christian faith when the church loves worldliness more than Jesus. Why should I leave that behind when you seem to love it too? Israel's disobedience was a terrible witness to the Gentiles. You like our idolatry, you like our statues, you like our false worship? Why should we give that up for this Yahweh God? Jesus came to change that. He came first to Israel. Repent. The kingdom is here. You're first, Israel. Receive the promised kingdom. But Israel rejected the kingdom. To the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. To the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. At Epiphany, those Gentile seeds were planted. The wheels were set in motion. The Gentiles will come to the king. The nations will stream to the kingdom. The Magi did it. They came. They worshiped the Christ child. They received him by faith. And it says they had great exceeding joy. Did you come to God this morning with great exceeding joy? Because the Gentile magicians did. They had great exceeding joy at this Christ child. They fell down before him. And then they left by faith. They didn't go back to Herod to share Jesus' location. They returned to their home country or countries, having experienced the grace of the Lord. They received the Christ child far better than Herod did. And having returned home, they likely lived as Gentile God-fearers, leaders in their country. They were in a position to teach, to influence, in the glow of their experience with the living Christ. God promised to bless those who bless his people. The Magi came, they blessed Christ with gifts, they responded with joy and faith, and the Lord sent them home, likely blessing them in their lives. This is how the Spirit works in bringing growth, bringing gospel growth. The glory of Christ shines on the nations. The nations worship in joy. The nations give gifts, as the Magi did, and then they go home and tell others. Influence others in the name of Christ. We can only imagine, how did the Spirit bless the Magi in their home nation? How did the Spirit bless the Magi in their relationships with their families? We just went to Israel. We saw this baby. He's the king. We just bow down to a small child. Now, throughout the Gospels, if you continue to read Matthew or the other gospel accounts, we see the loving pursuit of Jesus for Israel. Okay, we get this snippet here of Gentile influence with the Magi, but Jesus continues to pursue Israel. And even in the Gospels, when Gentiles come to Jesus, he reiterated his first commitment to the Jews. Didn't mean that he didn't care about the Gentiles, but everything in its proper order. To the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. After he was murdered, after he was crucified, after his death and resurrection, Jesus commissioned the apostles to disciple, boys and girls, disciple the nations. All the nations. To the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. The Great Commission is the worldwide focus of bringing Gentiles in the kingdom with the gospel. That's how Gentiles come in today. They come to Christ, and the church teaches the Gentiles, teaches the nations, to obey all that Christ has commanded. Come to the grace by faith, and you'll be blessed. This is how you serve God. This is how you obey Jesus. And for the nations, for their leaders, if those leaders are wise, they will kiss the Son. They will bow the knee. They will stop raging against God and against his Christ. They will serve him with fear and rejoice with trembling. And those leaders will start to enact Christian principles in their nation. They'll create Christian laws. All nations need this. Churches can exist in those nations, worshiping, ministering to the nation, under God's protection, with a government bowing the knee to Jesus. That's the design. However, if the leaders are wicked and foolish, they strive against God. They try to break apart the bonds he puts on them. They try to cast away the cords he establishes. And in response to that, our Creator God laughs. He laughs at their futile efforts to rebel against their Creator. They can't get to God, so whom do they attack? His people. The seed of Abraham. They attack the church. The leaders lead with godless laws, and they commit suicide as a nation. It's futile wickedness to strive against your Creator. We don't recommend it. The Father has promised the Son all the nations. All the nations are to submit to Christ, for He already has all authority in heaven and on earth. And the submission of the Magi showed that this was happening. Even the rebellion of Herod showed that this was happening. He knew Jesus was a threat, that the true ruler from Bethlehem was coming. Epiphany was just the beginning. Why are you Magi leaders here? Oh, we're here to worship this child. Let me check with my guys back here. Yeah, the ruler's coming from Bethlehem. Herod knew it was happening, and he strove against it. And what happened to Herod? He died. And Christ continued, and his kingdom continues to grow. And he blesses the nations. Psalm 72, which tells of Epiphany, we hear, "The king shall have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him. His enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Saba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings, all rulers shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him." This is a psalm. This is before Jesus. This is David writing about Solomon, foreshadowing the coming of Christ. All nations will come to Jesus. They will bow down. They will bring their gifts and their riches, because the Lord claims it all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he promises the Son, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession." Because Jesus purchased the world with his blood, and the Father gives it to him. And he rules over the nations. Now, this is not some tyrannical, authoritarian rule. The ruling of Christ over the nations is a blessing to the nations. Remember the Abrahamic promises. The Abrahamic promise: those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. The nations that give and bless Christ, he will bless. From Psalm 72, "The people shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. The king shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth." That is the blessing of Jesus on the nations, and that continues today. It didn't stop at Epiphany. It continues today through the seed of Abraham living in the world as we minister to the nations. All nations are compelled to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for their good, and they will be blessed. Think about the situations we have today. Think about our brethren in China. That nation, China, has a choice. It can bow the knee to King Jesus and bless his people, and then China will be blessed. But if China curses God's people, persecutes the church, that nation the Lord will curse. And in sinful rebellion, godlessness, China is choosing to curse the church. And we know how this will end for China. Our nation, the nation in which we live today, has that same choice. Kiss the Son, bless the seed of Abraham. And if this nation does that, this nation will be blessed. But if this nation strives against our Creator and persecutes the church, and commits some of the wicked sins we read Herod committing, this nation will be cursed. Brothers and sisters, in the new covenant, we are the true seed of Abraham. We are heirs according to the promise. We are the holy nation. You read it from Peter in our liturgy. We are the holy nation ministering to all the other nations. We are the royal priesthood. We bring the gospel to the nations. We evangelize, teach, and disciple. We shine the light of Christ to others. We bless the nations, and we pray that the nations bless us, the church. And as we work for our Christ and for the kingdom, as the nations bow to King Jesus, the nations will bring their gifts to the church. The wealth of the nations will pour into the church. This will be with literal gifts because it all belongs to Jesus. The church is to inherit the best of the world. Think about our church right here. What are the greatest gifts in this church? Is it the tithe we just offered? Is that the greatest thing that this church has to offer? Is it these wonderful buildings? Is it the delicacies we're about to enjoy during fellowship time? Is that the best that this church has to offer? They're great, but they're not our best. The best of the church is right here. The blessings of the church are the people of the church. It's the images of God sitting next to you in the pew. These are the greatest gifts of the church. Now, fleshly wise to the world, that doesn't make sense. But remember, Herod feared a baby. Does that make sense? The Magi bowed down to the Christ child. No, the church to the world doesn't look like much. We have old people and we have babies. Why would we care for such a lot as this? You are the blessings, you are the gifts to the nations. Now, this is not a false gospel of self-esteem. This is the Father saves you in the Son. And the Spirit changes you and conforms you. You start out as dirt. And then you're a stone. You're a living stone. And then the fire of the Spirit changes you into stones of fire. Aren't stones of fire beautiful? Aren't they glorious? Israel left Egypt with blessings, gold, silver. And from those blessings, they built the tabernacle. They brought the best from Hiram, king of Tyre, and they built Solomon's temple. The best gifts that Hiram had to offer. Well, the new covenant temple is made by living stones. It's made of people. You are the gems, the wealth of the nations. You beautify the world. You grow the kingdom. You spread the kingdom through worship. You bless this nation, our leaders, with your prayers. You minister God's word to the communities. You give them Christ. You minister through good works and service. And those are beautiful blessings that beautify this church. You're about to see it. Shortly, we'll go over there, and you'll see great blessings happening in the fellowship hall. And those blessings are to go and beautify the community and the world around us. So, brothers and sisters, pray for this nation, that this nation would not oppress our work, that no nation would oppress the work of the church. Pray for the church that serves all the nations of the world. Pray for our leaders, that they will enact godly laws and that our Christian faith would overwhelm the culture and continue to worship, serve, and bless others. God uses us to bring blessings to the world. So bring those blessings. And when we are faithful in this, He will bring more and more wealth from the world into the church for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who by the leading of a star did manifest thy only begotten Son to the peoples of the earth, lead us, who know thee by faith, to thy presence, where we may behold thy glory face to face through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.